It's a couple of minutes after 8 o'clock, and welcome to a Wednesday edition of the Mornings with Ed Show. Delighted that you're with us this morning, and as we do each and every Wednesday, we welcome in the sage advice from WealthWise Financial's award-winning president and CEO, Laureen Gilbert, for the WealthWise Moment. Welcome, Laureen.
Good morning, Ed. Great to be here.
Great to have you back as well. You'd spent some time out of town. You're back in town now.
Yes.
you came back to a rainstorm and oil on our beaches. Congratulations.
Oh, gosh. I mean, just it seems like the world has gone crazy, doesn't it?
It does.
But it did feel like I came back from Texas and felt like I brought the Texas weather with me and was saddened to see the oil issue off of the coast. It makes all of us very, very sad.
Yeah, let's talk about it for a little bit.
Sure.
Because not just the effect on wildlife and the effect on our lives here, but let's talk about, and what we touched on a little earlier this morning was Amplify's shares plunged about 44% right after hearing this. Now, they're a small company born out of a bankruptcy. They're not like a BP that I would imagine survived their disaster financially. A company like this, a small company that's had problems before, do they survive something like this?
Well, you know, I wouldn't.
And should they?
Yeah, right. I get it. So from an investment perspective, you just talked about BP. It took BP a long, long time to recover after their debacle. And to your point, much larger company. So, you know, I can't speak to, you know, what's going to happen exactly with Amplify. But I would say I would not be looking at it from an investor perspective, not something I would want to invest in. And to your point, both just from the numbers as well as just their reputation.
Right.
As well. And, you know, so that's what I would say about that incident. But, you know, it's an interesting thing that's happened because, as you know, Ed, oil prices continue to go up, 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 up. In fact, just hit $79 a barrel, is up, I think, 60% this year. And so, you know, we see oil prices continue to go up.
Right. It seemed like it didn't affect the other companies. Exxon, Mobil, Chevron, ConocoPhillips, they all showed increases in gains.
And the reason is because of the inflationary pressures that are weighing, that is what causes oil prices to go up. And so then, of course, what that means for consumers is that it hits them at the gas pump. And that really impacts the American consumer. There's a direct impact on the American consumer when oil prices go up, gas prices go up, and it hurts the consumer. So we're definitely seeing. So what I'd say is the reason you're still seeing other companies and their stock prices going up is because it's ignoring this one incident and looking at oil prices as the macro cause of prices going up.
Right. Okay. And thanks to a surge in oil prices this year, Amplify's shares had gone up 339% year to date. But now, after this, their stock price was about where it stood before the collapse of energy prices early in the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they probably have more downside to go.
Right. Right. So another we talked about BP being a large company. Let's talk about a large company like Facebook. And what's going on there? We've here, of course, been covering the testimony of Frances Haugen, and everybody saw her on 60 Minutes when she revealed information that Facebook knew it was harming younger teen girls with its Instagram, with Instagram, and there, what's going on with the Facebook stock? What will happen to Facebook stock?
Well, so it's interesting that Facebook over the years has had many controversies, and yet the stock price continues to go up and the company continues to grow. And so time will tell if the Facebook files and this whistleblower will be one more thing where, you know, what actually happened. If we look most recently at the stock price, the only thing that really hurt the stock price was the outage, not necessarily the whistleblower. Wow. So the outage had an impact on the stock price, but it doesn't seem so far that the whistleblower and testimony and all of this has had much of an impact on the stock. And I think the question is, what will it mean for these social media companies in general? Will we see Congress, after hearing testimony, decide there needs to be more regulation and intervention? And I think there will be with these companies. And it's been interesting to follow along that, you know, at least what has been revealed so far is, it, you know, there's this outside telling the, you know, telling the people this is how we do things, but inside finding out it's actually quite different. So, you know, I think it's definitely a reputational risk for Facebook, but Facebook has had many other controversies. So I don't know how much it's going to impact their stock price.
So I got to tell you that hearing you say that the outage affected stock prices more than the revelation of their apps harming our teenage girls makes me a little sad. And
it should make you sad, yeah. Ed, and it should be. And I've been saying this for years too, whether it's Facebook or Google or other companies, unfortunately, many investors don't really look at that. Yeah. They're looking at how can I make money, not how, you know, investors need to think about when they put money in a stock, they're giving a corporation more money to use, right, to either good or bad. And so this idea of kind of the ethics behind where you're putting your money to invest is catching on to some degree, but I'll still say most investors really just say, just make me money. I really don't care.
Right.
Versus really thinking about what these companies are doing to society, to children. And, you know, to that point, it wasn't just children. It's that what's been revealed is that, you know, they are causing more polarization, which actually, you know, came out of, you know, that whole Social Dilemma movie, and showing that these companies actually create more of the polarization and more of the anger in our society, which is not good.
Not good at all. Everything about them, which 12 years ago, 14 years ago, seemed like such a rosy, cool thing. I can share pictures of my food and my dog and the sunsets and all of that, has just become something really insipid. So should they be broken up? Should we break Facebook up?
I don't know if breaking it up is, you know, I think that's definitely going to be looked at.
Right.
And from a stock perspective, if we look at the stock price, they could probably be even more profitable if they were broken up. So if they are, I don't know that that hurts them from a stock perspective. Might actually help them. So that's certainly something that could happen. I don't think it's necessarily a negative thing for them if that does happen.
Okay. All right. I've got a busy morning for you. Thanks so much for the frankness. And let's talk about September. As we look back over the last 20 years, September, we talked about it last week, has been the worst performing month for the S&P 500. This year, the S&P dropped 4.8% in September, but it wasn't enough to wipe out gains from earlier in the third quarter. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, so we still eked out like a pot, you know, basically almost a flat to a little bit positive quarter. And if you break it down a little bit more, of course, the NASDAQ had a very bad month in September. And now we're continuing on into October. Even today, the markets opened lower. And this is all expected. Like you said, I mean, we know historically September is the worst month of the markets historically. And really the first 2 weeks of October go right there with it. And so we've been saying all along, this will be a good buying opportunity. And we're looking at, you know, some of these names that have been hit pretty hard in this period of time, and where could we then turn around and take advantage of that. And so I would, you know, just yesterday I was meeting with a client who was nervous about it, and another client who called me about the debt ceiling. And so right now what I'm seeing out there is investors are asking questions and saying, you know, I'm kind of worried about all this. Do I need to be worried? What does that mean? And my answer to that is we expected it, nothing unusual. I'm not worried about where we are in the markets. Just this morning, Ed, I don't know if you saw, but the ADP employment numbers came out, and they came out 570,000 versus 405,000 that were expected. Another great number for employment, and those were the September numbers. And we expected this after, you know, kind of the drop-off of the unemployment, right? So people are going to be going back to work. There's going to be improvement. That's great for the economy. So when we look at all that, look at the economic data, we see that we're going to end the year. I think we're going to have a year-end rally.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And I noticed this morning that New Zealand had tightened their central bank policy. Does that affect us, and are we looking at doing the same thing maybe?
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up, Ed. What we're seeing is companies starting to increase their benchmark rate, right? So we, you know, the benchmark rate for New Zealand was 25 basis points. They've lifted that to 50 basis points. We've also seen South Korea and Norway start to raise rates. What does that mean? Those are developed countries around the globe that are seeing the inflationary pressures and saying, we can't ignore this any longer. We can't just sit on the sidelines. We've got to start raising rates. That means the U.S. will be doing that as well. So what does that mean for consumers? If you were wanting that low interest rate on a house purchase or a refi, this is the time to do it. Despite, you know, housing cost increases, if you're looking to make a change while rates are low, this is the time to do it. I do think we're going to see rate increases starting sometime in 2022.
Okay. Okay. And at noon, I think it's noon Eastern, 9 o'clock our time, there's a vote to raise the debt ceiling. Now, for a couple of weeks now, you've been very, very confident that it's going to happen. Are you still as confident this morning?
I'm very confident it's going to happen in time for what we need it to be, which we've, you know, so I'm very confident ultimately it will happen. I don't know if it's going to happen today, but I'm very confident it will happen. Okay. There's no way that the U.S. is going to default on debt. It's just not going to happen. So, but they're still wrangling as far as political maneuvering around the $3.5 trillion reconciliation. And in order for that to be mitigated and that number to come down, there's still some, you know, closed-door sessions. And in Congress, they're debating how, you know, yes, we can increase the debt ceiling, but we want to make sure that the spending isn't out of control. So not sure if it's going to happen today, but confident it will happen before that drop-dead date that needs to happen.
I'm going to stand right next to you just as confident right now, okay? With my fingers crossed behind my back, of course.
Yeah.
A couple of dumb guy questions for you, if I can. I read that Tesla reported record quarterly deliveries despite the global chip shortage that seems to have hit everyone, including their rivals, of course. They're in the third quarter more than 70% higher than the previous year. What do they know that the rest of the companies don't know?
So Tesla has been very efficient with their software, and they want to be seen as a robotics and software company, not as a car manufacturer. Okay. And what they did early on is they developed a partnership with AMD. And AMD is supplied through Taiwan versus Intel that does U.S. manufacturing. And so they were able, because of their efficiencies versus other companies use many more semiconductors, and in a sense what Tesla does is with their efficiencies, they're able to streamline their usage of semiconductors. And that has position them very well.
Genius.
For their delivery.
Genius.
So it was their partnership mainly with AMD, and then their efficiency with their software.
Okay. And I rarely give you two dumb guy questions in a row, but here you go. You're knocking them all out of the park this morning. Another electric vehicle company, Rivian, it's a startup. They're backed by Amazon and Ford. And they are due to, at some point, we're looking for them to move into the old movie theater here in our town. They revealed large losses in a filing ahead of its planned IPO. Shouldn't they be going the opposite direction before the IPO?
Well, you know, a lot of companies will IPO and, you know, not necessarily show a bunch of profit, right? I mean, what you're trying to do in an IPO is you're trying to raise more money than to be able to spend more money. So, you know, what they also revealed were 48,000 pre-orders. And so, you know, they do have pre-orders as of September 30th. That required, you know, $1,000 deposit. So, you know, they're hoping in an IPO to raise a bunch of money, and through that raising money will help them, you know, go ahead and continue to do what they're going to do. But it'll be interesting to see another, you know, I think we're going to continue to see more and more companies like this. Kind of Tesla was the early stage and leading the way. And the hard thing for any other company to do is to catch up to Tesla. It's going to be very hard to catch up to them. And it kind of goes back to what I was saying. They thought through a lot of issues early on. Now, let me just add one other note here. And that is, we still don't have this $3.5 trillion package ironed out. But in one of the versions that I recently saw, it was going to promote EV manufacturing in the United States and only benefit those companies that are doing manufacturing in the United States. So once again, that's going to help those companies that are doing that, and that's not going to help companies like Tesla, but it's going to help other companies. So the EV market is still in its infancy, and so there will be a lot of up-and-comers who are going to try and rival what Tesla has done.
Beautiful, beautifully told and sober. Thank you very much, Laureen Gilbert. She is the president, CEO, the award-winning president, CEO of Wealthwise Financial Services. How do our listeners find you?
WealthwiseFinancial.com, 949-748-1177.
It's always a great conversation, and we thank you for this morning's conversation, Laureen.
Thank you.
Have a great rest of the day.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
8:21 the time. It's the Mornings with Ed Show.